Come on, everybody say, pray big.
Pray.
Come on, let's do it like we mean it. Pray big. You believe that? We're going to believe for great things. We're going to pray for big things. We're going to see big things. A lot of great things are going to happen. North Campus, help me welcome all of the locations that are joining with us today. We are glad that you are there. Whatever location you're at today, thanks for coming. And I'm sure you've already had a time of worship, and now we're going together into the Word of the Lord. Before we do, let me remind you, Love and Truth Church is all about changing lives to change our world. And we've been talking about three words. Let me remind you of that. We do that through encourage, engage, and encounter. And it's on the screen right there. We come together to encourage every person. We believe that on Sunday, if you come through the doors, we believe you're going to leave encouraged, because that's what Sunday is all about. We want you to help you engage with your purpose. We do that through our Next Steps process, and we would love for you to get involved in that, because here's what we know: when you find your purpose, you live life with passion, and that's what we want to have happen in your life. And then lastly, we want you to encounter His presence. We want the presence of God to change your life, and we really go for that on Wednesday night especially. And so if you've never been part of a Wednesday night service, we would invite you to that at any of our locations today, as well as anytime you get an opportunity to be there. Listen, let's pray together, and we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about praying big over the next few weeks. So let's turn our expectancy, I don't know if that's a word, but let's turn that up just a little bit, and let's believe for great things. Father, we thank you, and I bless you today. I believe, Lord, that according to your word, that you're able to do more in us than we can think or imagine according to the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today we just come ready to receive what you're going to speak to us, and we're going to leave these places today filled with your presence and filled with great dream and vision. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, listen, take your Bibles or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded on, and let's go to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles is where I'm going to read. In fact, I'm going to read just one verse of Scripture the next few weeks to you, and it's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. Now, let me ask this question. How many of you remember, I don't know, about 10 years or so ago, there was a book that came out called The Prayer of Jabez. How many of you remember that book, or maybe you read that book? I hope you did read it. If you haven't read it, I'd encourage you. It's still available through Amazon or your favorite book distributor. You can get that. About 6 months or so ago, somebody caught me at the front door one day and said, Pastor, why don't you preach about the prayer of Jabez again? I said, well, you know, I've done that a couple of times through the years and kind of laid it aside. But what happened was, is that because of that, I began to pray the prayer of Jabez again. And the more that I did, the more it kind of got a hold of me. And I thought, you know what? I don't just need to be doing this myself. We need to be doing this as a ministry all over again. So let's read this. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Now, let me just set it up first of all. If you look at the chapters before that, it's like reading the phone book. You say, what do you mean? Well, it just says the sons of Judah were Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, Shobai, and Rehiah, the son of Shobai. I mean, it's just like reading through the names in the phone book. And then you get to verse 9 and 10, and it changes. And I'm not going to read verse 9 today, but verse 10 says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And do you see that next sentence? So God granted him what he requested. Would you say that with me? So God granted him what he requested. How many of you want God to grant some things in your life, in your world? Well, one of the ways that we do that is by going back into the Word of the Lord and saying, okay, what is it that God has granted before? What is it that God has done in the past? And so when Jabez is praying here, we're going to break this sermon or this series up into four parts. And today, I want to talk about the part there where it says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. The word bless is, we've all heard it. In fact, if somebody sneezes, we probably say what? Bless you, right? Now, we don't know why we're saying that, We just have heard everybody else say that, and we don't even know what it means. Now, if we're really religious, we'll even say, God bless you, right, when somebody sneezes. But it's kind of just a thing that's fallen out with us. We really don't understand it. And yet, when you study Scripture, the word bless, or a derivative of the word bless, is used over 600 times in Scripture. Now, how many of you know if the Lord uses a word that many times, we might ought to take a little while and look at it? Right? And so I begin to do some research about the word bless. And the Hebrew word bless has a couple of definitions that I want to share with you. The first one is, and here's what it says, is that the word bless means a public declaration of God's favored status or favored status with God. Do you see that? A public declaration of favored status with God. Now, how many of you want favored status with God? Amen. Let me ask you again, because the rest of you didn't hear me. I want God's favor on my life. I want to have, I don't know what computer system God uses, but whenever my name comes up, I want it out beside it to say favored. Yeah. Right? I don't want it just to say saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost. I want it to say favored. And that's what the word bless means in Scripture. It means that you and I, that God has declared this over our life, that we are favored. The second part is this. It means endowed with power for prosperity and success. Endowed with power for prosperity and success. So, over my life has been spoken favor, and then I've been given the power for prosperity and success. Now, I don't know about you, that makes me want to believe for big things. Amen? We're talking about pray big. Can I just challenge some of you a little bit? In fact, let me just start off. In the process of putting all of this together and reworking a lot of things, I was sitting in my office on Friday, and I just texted all the campus pastors, and I asked them a question, something similar to this. I said, when was the last time that you believed God for something so big that if God didn't show up, you looked foolish? Come on. Now, I've done that many times through my life. I don't know about you. I've believed God for crazy stuff. I believe God, that God was going to do exceeding abundantly above all on many occasions. But my question to you is, when was the last time you believed for God to do something that big? That if he didn't show up, that everybody's going to say, you lost your mind. What's wrong with you? I can't believe you said this was going to happen. I can't believe you said that was going to take place. Listen, that's what God wants to do, is that God wants to do big things. God will take care of the little things, but he loves doing big things. He loves doing 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. He loves doing 5,000 at the temple. He loves doing big things. He loves doing things that bring him glory, and everybody has to step back and say, look what God has done. And see, so many of us are only believing, come on, hear me, so many of us are only believing for little things that even though it's happening, God's not getting any glory out of it. And he says, I want you to start believing me for humongous things. I want you to begin to believe me for stuff that doesn't make any sense, but when I show up, when I come through, then everybody is going to begin to declare, look what God has done. The Scripture says it this way. It says, be ready to give an answer to every person who will ask you of the hope that lies within you. In other words, the things that are happening in your world are so big, so humongous, so powerful, so great that people are looking at your life and they're saying, there's something different about you. You don't live like everybody else. You don't exist like everybody else. Come on, somebody. There needs to be something that begins to happen on our behalf that we are seeing the power in the presence of God. Listen, let's talk about this prayer quickly. First of all, this prayer, you need to understand, it's a daily prayer. Did you hear me? It's a daily. This is not something you go home today after hearing pastor talk about it and say, Lord, that you would bless me indeed. And say, well, I got that covered. Well, what did Jesus tell us? Jesus said, when you pray, here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily. He's telling us that as you pray this every day. He said, don't just pray kingdom come every once in a while. Don't just pray my will be done. Don't just pray for provision. Don't just pray for forgiveness. He said, you do this on a daily basis. Well, this series is the same thing. This prayer, praying big, is not just something I do once and lay it on a shelf. See, we've got so many of us that the only time we pray is when we're in a mess. Hello. What would begin to happen if we'd pray big every day? What would begin to happen if we'd say, oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed, and we'd pray that every day of our lives and see what it is that God can do on our behalf. Listen, five things quickly. Number one is it begins with God. The sermon and the scripture reading to you today is an understanding that it all begins with God. The word of the Lord, let me just read it to you again. It says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, so it begins with God, and here's what he said, oh, that you would bless me indeed. It's that beginning with God. It's coming to that place of understanding that God is everything, that he is the one who is going to do it on my behalf, that if he doesn't show up, I'm in a mess. Amen. Usually the last prayer I pray before I come out of the green room or out from behind the stage is, God, you got to show up today or it's going to be a mess. Come on. Lord, I got to have you. I've got to have your presence. I've got to have your anointing. I've got to have your glory. I've got to have your wisdom. I've got to have your revelation. I've got to have, yeah, Lord, I've prepared. I've prayed. I've sought you. I put a sermon together. I've got scriptures. But God, if you don't show up, because it all begins with him. See, it recognizes that God is the one who determines the blessing. It doesn't say, Lord, here's what you do. It just says, Lord, that you would bless me indeed. I want something to happen. In other words, here's what it's saying, is in all of our lives, we have to understand this, is that the greater blesses the lesser. The greater is God, of course, and we are the lesser. And God says, I want to bless you. If you don't believe that God is a blessing God, then you don't know who he is. Now, you know, you really shouldn't pray those kind of prayers. They're kind of selfish. Are you kidding me? Well, you know, when he prays this prayer is a spiritual prayer. It is all about spiritual things. You haven't read the prayer very well. In fact, the whole prayer pretty much is about natural things. Lord, that you would bless me indeed, you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be upon me and you'd keep me from evil, that I wouldn't call on. It's pretty much a natural prayer. And our problem is that we can believe God for spiritual things, but we can't believe God for every other area of our life. And yet what we have found is that God has created us as natural beings living in a human experience here upon this earth. And God wants to do exceeding abundantly above all. But what we've got to do is that we've got to begin to pray big, believe big, and see big. I can't just settle down. There are too many Christians who are settling for a really small God. How big is your God? Can I just talk to you? Not anybody listening to me today, but there's other Christians I know. There are other Christians that I know that they've got a pretty small God. You say, how do you know that their God is pretty small? Because I've watched how they live. I've watched how they believe. I've watched what they've said. I've listened to them. And their God is pretty small. And I want to tell you, our God is not small. Our God is big. He is powerful. He is great. Come on. Get with me today. Don't just sit there and look at me. He is able to do more than you can ask or think. We've got to come to that place of believing that. Some of you need to settle today that God's bigger than you've let him be. You just need to go ahead today and say, God wants to do more than I've let him do in my life. God wants to perform more than I've let him perform in my life. And so we it all begins with God. Secondly, here's what he says. He says, oh, this wasn't a, now, Lord, if you would. Some of y'all are way too pretty when you pray. Come on, sometimes you need to get ugly. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Come on, you seen that ugly praying? Oh, God! Right? Come on, Jesus! I need something to happen on my behalf. Listen, it's a fervent desire that he has at this moment. God doesn't get moved by a lot of prayers. You say, how do you know? Because I've watched people. Come on, think about how many prayers you prayed, nothing happened. Uh-oh, problem with God? No. He's not out of power this week. You know, the generator in heaven didn't blow up. The bank of heaven hadn't gone out of business. Miracles haven't stopped. God didn't put the, you know, out of business sign over healing. Right? So if there's a problem, where's the problem? I mean, think about how tenacious you get with the banker and how tenacious you get with God. Come on, when you start getting those past due, those second notices, third notice, then they start calling you. And those are those nice calls. We just want to call you today and bless you. We just want you to know we love you. And if you don't pay this note, we're taking everything you got. You get pretty fervent about that. But what about getting fervent about God? Jabez is praying a fervent. Oh, God. I mean, he didn't just say, God. Oh, God. I mean, there's a sense of desperation that's inside of him. See, here's what I believe. Desire is the fuel for answered prayer. I believe that's what fuels it. I believe it's that, man, I got to have this. I'm going to see this. I'm going after it. I'm not going to pray for it once. I'm not going to pray for it twice. There are things in my life that I've been praying for 20 years now that I'm still believing God for. I'm still confessing. I'm still declaring. I'm still decreeing. Have you seen it yet? Not yet, but it's still coming because God is not a man that he could lie. And if he told me it was mine, it is mine. I just haven't got into the right frame. I haven't got in the right time, but it's coming. I am going to see it. I'm going to believe for it. We are going to have it. We're going to believe and pray for some big stuff. I preached hard like this Wednesday night. I ain't doing that again today. It takes too much out of me. The third thing, I can't preach that way. The third thing is, it's a personal prayer. It's a personal prayer. He's not, watch this. He's not praying for everybody else. Well, he's being selfish. Yeah, that's okay sometimes. Can I just help some of you understand something? Well, you, Pastor, you ought to be praying for the missionaries, and you ought to be praying for the pygmies in New Guinea, and you ought to be praying for the people on the street, and you ought to be praying for... Yeah, but here's what I found out. Until my world gets straight, I can't help anybody else's world get straight. Until my stuff is handled, I can't help anybody else. Pardon them. I can't help anybody else get their stuff straight. So I need to start right here, right now. Come on, Lord, that you would bless me indeed. It's all about what's happening right now in my life. And I'm going to bless somebody else. I'm going to do that, but I got to have it taken care of right here, right now, personally. And here's the deal. Don't settle for mediocrity. Don't pray, you know, little bamby, pamby, wimpy prayers. Lord, if you could just, you know, if we could just have some bologna to eat. No, pray for T-bone. Right? Lord, if you just give me a Volkswagen. No, pray for a Mercedes. I know I'm stretching some of you. If he owns the whole world and the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold in the hills, why in the world am I praying for a beat up something when God says, I want my kids to be blessed? In fact, Deuteronomy says it this way. It says he'll give you the power to get wealth so that you can establish his covenant forever. You say, well, that's the children of Israel. I know, and I've got a better covenant than they had. So I can believe for God to do it. I'm not going to settle. I'm not quit settling trying to be like everybody else. Pray some crazy prayers. Come on, I refuse to be like everybody else. I just chose a long time ago. I was not going. I mean, have you seen my shoes today? Come on. Have you seen these shoes? I'm not going to be like anybody else. I don't care if you like them. I didn't buy them for you. Not being rude, but then it's not about you. It's what I wanted. My money. My shoes. I don't like your shoes. Don't care. I'm not going to be like everybody else. Amen. Come on. Some of you need to determine you're not going to live like everybody else, down, depressed, beaten up, going through trial, going through tribulation all the time. But you say, wait a minute, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. See, he's praying here for daily needs. It's back to that whole, and he's praying. He's saying, and I think we ought to start. I listed it there for you. I think you ought to start with spiritual needs. God, here's where I'm at spiritually. Now, sometimes I'm way up here. But boy, sometimes I'm way down here. And when I'm way down here, it takes me longer to get way back up here. And so I got to pray, Lord, here's where I'm at, and here's what I'm struggling with. And God, I don't feel like praying, and I don't feel like going to church, and I don't feel like loving anybody. I mean, why are y'all afraid to tell God that? You think he doesn't already know you feel that way? He already knows. You might as well go ahead and put it out there. And so you pray spiritually. And then secondly, pray for your relations. Pray for those people who are around you. Pray for your family. Pray that God will make those situations good. And then pray for your finances. Amen? How many of you found out that plenty of finances will help things? All right, you don't know that? Let me give you scripture. Here's what Solomon says. The wisest man who ever lived said, money answereth all things. It's in the B-I-B-L-E. Money answereth all. Y'all thought that was, you know, some heathen said that. No, Solomon said that. The wisest man who had ever lived. Money answereth all things. So you pray about your money. You say, well, I don't believe you ought to be praying that. Well, the Bible calls God in the Old Testament, one of his compound names is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord God, your provider. So he wants to provide. So the second thing is that this is, he says, oh, Lord, that you would bless me. And then I think he just stood there for a minute and he went, indeed. It was like, I'm going to be in fact, I think what he's doing, he's asking for an abundance. He doesn't want just, here's what I found out. Have you found out when you just have enough that you can't bless anybody else? I don't care what it is. I've said for years, and I've got in trouble by saying this, and so here I go, let's get in trouble again. I've said for years, you can't build a church on poor people. Now, I don't mean that in money, all right? People say, I can't believe he said that. You can't do it. Here's why you can't do it. A person who is poor, whatever their aspect, let's just use it this way. A single mom, single dad, raising three kids. They've worked 40, 50, sometimes 60 hours that week, and they're out. They're out of juice. They come to church. They don't have anything to give. Why are y'all looking at me like that? They are desperate. They just want, have you got a clean place and a safe place and a nice place and somebody that can love on my kids and teach them about Jesus? And can I just go in and just sit down and just soak it in? All right? Now, if you're in that place today, we're glad you're here. But we don't want you to stay there. We want you to begin to believe God for an abundance. In every area, not just money. Do not pigeonhole this sermon about money today, because it's not. In fact, I'll prove that in just a minute, okay? God is extravagant in what he does. Another compound name in the Old Testament is the name El Shaddai. The word El Shaddai means more than enough. What do you need? I need this healed. He's more than enough. I need this situation turned around. He's more than enough. I need favor in this place. He's more than enough. Amen? Fifth thing. The prayer doesn't limit God. You say, what do you mean? He doesn't say, God, I want you to do it here, at this place, at this time. He just says, Lord, that you would bless me indeed. And he leaves the choosing. He says, God, you choose how and when. You ever had a need and you've gone to the Lord with that need, but you've already told the Lord how you need him? I guess I'm the only one that does that. Now, Lord, here's the situation. We got this need in the ministry, and Lord, I've looked at it, and this person is the right person, and just go ahead and speak to them and bring them in. And you know what I found out? Most of the time when I do that, most of the time I just go ahead and hire that person or bring them in or whatever, and most of the time it's the worst thing I could have done. I just need to go, God, here's what we need. We need a blessing. Now I'm waiting for you to provide. I'm waiting for you to show up on my behalf. See, it doesn't limit God and says, God, you choose how and you choose when you're going to do this. Now, let's talk about this whole aspect of blessing for a few minutes, okay? Because it's kind of a hard concept to wrap your brain around. So let me try to explain it this way. How many of you have ever been outside and you've seen the wind blowing and you've seen the leaves moving as the wind blows? You've been there, or three of you have been outside. Praise God. Let's ask that question again. How many of you have ever been outside? Good. Anybody ever seen the wind blow? Just checking. They're a little slow here today, locations. It's just this bunch. Pray for me. All right. So you ever been in a room and all of a sudden the door slams because the wind blew through and you say, man, I just saw the door slam and the wind blew. And we see, you know, we're outside and we see the chimes moving. We see the wind blowing. But can I just say to you, you've never seen the wind blow? I know it's a trick question. You've never seen the wind blow. What you have seen are the effects of the wind blowing. Blessing you can't see. Benefits of the blessing are what you see. Blessing is something that God places on you. Let's do it this way. If I were to have, you know, I didn't, but I should have, but if I were to have a $100 bill in my pocket and call one of you up here today and say, hey, here's $100, go out today and buy your family lunch and then go down and, you know, fill up with gas and just have a great week. Well, you would walk out of here having been blessed. You wouldn't be blessed with $100? You need 1,000? I started getting excited about the 1,000, didn't you? Kind of took your faith up a little bit there, didn't you? Kind of like, whoa, yeah, I can believe it. Oh, pastor's going somewhere now. All right, 1,000. All right, we going big. 1,000. But guess what? I guarantee you before the week's over, it'll all be gone. Now here's the deal. I blessed you. But if you don't walk in the blessing, you'll have a need tomorrow. See, the blessing continually provides the benefit. Don't miss it. Here's what we do. We think all of these things out here are the blessing, and they're not. See, the deal is the blessing on my life provided me the $1,000 to give you so you could be blessed. But if I'm walking in the blessing, I'll have $1,000 the next time I need it. Amen. I'll have healing the next time I need it. I'll have deliverance the next time I need it. I'll have a good relationship in my family the next time I need it. I'll have the favor of God upon me. Here's what you have to understand. Blessing is not things. Things are a result of the blessing. There are people who have all kinds of things who do not have the blessing of God on their life. I mean, listen. The pimp. Come on, where y'all been? Don't act so holy to me. The drug dealer. All those people out there, they got things. That's why all the kids in the hood want to be like them, because they rolling up. Right? You know, and the Escalade, and it's all blinged out. And so they go, man, I'm going to get on the street corner. I'm going to start selling a little crack too. So they got things, but they don't have the blessing. You know, I don't know they don't have the blessing, because they're going to wind up in jail. They're going to wind up in prison. They're going to die young. All kind of things are going to happen to them. Amen. So things, that's what we need to understand. In fact, David said it this way. He said, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, he said, my feet almost slipped. He said, I almost backslid. He said, hey, good. They got all kind of prosperity. They rolling up in the best. They got all the nicest and whatever. He said, I almost backslid. He said, till I went to the house of the Lord. Amen. And he said, in the house of the Lord, he said, I found out what their end was going to be. He said, I found out how it was all going to end. And he said, in that moment, he said, I wasn't about to backslide. I wasn't about to give up on God anymore, because he said, I understood that my provision was not man, that my provision was God Almighty, and that whatever it was that I need, that God was going to provide it. See, people don't believe in the blessing, but we believe in the curse. Come on, you know we do. As Christians, we try to play holy. But Hollywood believes in the curse. Look at how many movies come out, and it's about, oh, there's a curse on this, and there's a curse on that, and books and all this stuff. And if you go far enough back, for some of you history-wise, you'll remember the Kennedys. How many of you remember the name the Kennedys? John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy. You studied it. You know, I know it was ancient history for some of you. Some of the rest of us lived it. But anyway, and you know, John F. Kennedy gets killed. Before that, he had a brother that got killed. And then Robert F. Kennedy gets killed. And then, you know, the other brother runs off the bridge and kills a woman. And it just keeps going. And the whole world talked about what was called the Kennedy curse. And then John F. Kennedy Jr. was flying with his wife and her sister, and loses his way and crashes a plane and kills all of them. And everybody was talking about, just a few years ago, the Kennedy curse. What is that? That's something that's on somebody. That's something on a family. It's something that's stopping you. It's the bad things. It's that negative force that's coming against you. But I've got a good word for you today. The word of the Lord says that I have been freed from the curse. That Jesus Christ has set me free from the curse. So, how do I get there? I get there by coming into the blessing. How do I get into the blessing? The way you get into the blessing is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You come to him and say, God, I am a sinner, and I have walked away from you, and I have been a wayward child, and I come to you today, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me. If you don't believe that God loves you, let me give you a scripture. If you don't believe in the blessing of God, let me give you a scripture. Here's the blessing of God summed up. Here's what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. That's how much God blesses you. That's where we start. So if you aren't in relationship with Jesus today, the first thing you've got to do is get in relationship with him. But once you get in a relationship with him, the Bible says that you and I, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been freed from the curse. We are set free. I am not, don't come trying to put a curse on me. I rebuke you as quick as I can. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I'm not taking it. See, the blessing there is the endowment of God's nature on our life. It's that positive force. I'm not using that in the weird sense, okay? So don't send me nasty emails, all right? But how many of you believe God's positive, right? So it's a positive force that's working in our life. The blessing is the path for believers to manifest God's power. When you and I walk in the blessing, we live in the blessing, we can see the power of God being demonstrated in our life. And so my challenge to us today, I'll give you four things in there to pray about. Pray for God's blessings daily. Not every once in a while, just every day. Lord, today I pray you'll bless me indeed. And sometimes you're going to hang there for a while. Lord, come on. This is the blend. This is the area. This is what I need. And then live a life that frequently thanks God for the benefits of his blessing in your life. Lord, I thank you. Get ready to get in your car today. You say, it's not everything I want. It doesn't matter. It's a car. As you get in it today, say, thank you, Lord, for this car, and I'm believing for a better one. Amen. Amen. Walk in your house. Not everything I want. Praise God. I got a house. It's a roof over my head. Thank you. Come on. How many of you have found this as parents that you don't mind blessing, giving, taking care of a thankful child, but an ungrateful child? We won't go there. All right? Thirdly, pray for big things. Come on, people. Pray for big things. Don't miss it. Don't miss the last 3 minutes here and miss out on what I'm going to say. Pray for big things. Come on, every campus ought to be praying for big things. Every location. I don't care what you get. Savannah, you're getting ready to complete a building in the next few days. Don't quit believing. Don't quit praying. It's not time to stop now. It's not time to quit. It's not time to say, well, we got it done. No. You got to believe for some big stuff. Adamsville, you got to believe that people are coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. South Campus, you got to believe that God is going to bring forth another revival in South Jackson like he has before. Dyersburg, you got to believe that God is going to do exceeding abundantly above all. Come on, Craneville, you got to believe that there's a revival in Sparta, Illinois, and that you're going to be a part of it. We got to believe at North Campus that God is going to do more than he's ever done, and that thousands upon thousands of people are going to be saved, filled with the Spirit, lives changed and transformed for eternity, that we are not stopping until we see it come to pass. Pray big. Pray crazy prayers. Pray crazy stuff. I start saying this, Sherry gets nervous. Because I have prayed some of the craziest stuff through the years. In Adamsville, we started off with 35 people, and I started praying crazy prayers. I started preaching. I started saying, we're going to have 200 people here. That church had been, it was over 50 years old, and there had never been over 100 people consistently. I started praying, we're going to have 200 people here. It wasn't very long. They got crazy with me. They started saying, we're going to have 200 people here. We're going to have powerful things happen. And all of a sudden, we had 200 people. Then we built a new building, and things began to happen. All kind of things began to take place. And people said, you can't grow a church in this town. People started believing. Pastor Phil and me could say some of the craziest stuff. And I just go, oh, Jesus, I hope the Lord shows up on that one, because his faith just went somewhere today. And we'd pray it through, and all of a sudden you see stuff happening, and great things took place. And all of a sudden, in a town of 1,500 people, you had 600 people showing up every week in the house of God and their lives being changed. And out of that house, we began to reach the world and see lives changed. And everything that has happened through Love and Truth Church goes back to a little town where everybody says you couldn't have it and it couldn't happen. But people begin to say, we believe in God for some big stuff. Believe in God for some greater stuff. We are not settling for less. We believe God for more. So my challenge to you today is this. What are you believing God for? That if God doesn't show up, you're going to look like a fool. But when he shows up and it begins to happen, you're going to be able to step back and say, look what my daddy did. Look what God Almighty has done on my behalf, and how he has blessed, how he has delivered, how he has set us free, how he has saved my kids, how he has got them off of drugs, how he has set them free, how their lives have been transformed. Come on, somebody, begin to believe. Begin to pray big. Begin to believe big. Begin to receive big. Begin to know that God is bigger. He's bigger. He's bigger. Come on, remain standing. I may not be standing at your campus, but stand up. Come on. We're going to pray big prayer right now. Come on. How many of you want something big to happen? Hold your hand up. You want that divorce to turn around. You want that family to be put back together. You want that situation to turn itself around. You want that habit that keeps holding that loved one or holding you in bondage. You want the enemy to be defeated completely and for the presence and the power of God to set you free. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. We got to begin to believe. We got to begin to believe. Father, we declare right now, by your Spirit, by your power, by your glory, unto you who are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. God, we're going to get dangerous. There's getting ready to be some dangerous children believing you for some stuff. We're going to declare the works of the Lord. We're going to begin to proclaim, if God ever did it, he still can. If he ever has, he still will. And so, Lord, we're believing today for supernatural things to begin to happen. That there will be a breakthrough. That people here who have been believing you and they've been faithful, they've been believing their business is going to take off. In the next 6 months, it's going to begin to fly. And Lord, we've been believing at all of our campuses for growth and doubling and increase. And Lord, we're just declaring today that increase is here. And God, every one of us are going to have to add another service. That every campus is going to have more than the services they're having now because of so many people that are coming. Because, Lord, you're not willing that anybody perish, but that all come to repentance. And so we call it forth today. We decree healing today. That this is a place of signs and wonders and miracles, and that lives are being radically transformed by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.